I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a moment, we'll remember musical artist Ravi Shankar, but first we want to hear about a new artist who's making a name for himself in R&B. Singer-songwriter Miguel gained notice in 2010 with his breakout hit, Sure Thing.
If you beat a cash, I'll beat a rubber band. You beat a match, I will be a fuse. Boom, painter, baby, you could be the muse. I'm the reporter, baby, you could be the news. Cause you're the cigarette. And I'm the smoker, we raise the bet. Cause you're the joker, chipped off. You are the chump, and I could be the blackboard. You can be the top, and I can be the one. Yeah, when the sky comes falling, even when the sun don't shine, I got faith in
you. His melodic voice and lyricism earned him comparisons to Prince, as well as 23 weeks on the Hot 100 list last year. Well, Miguel has kept the momentum going with his second studio album, Kaleidoscope Dream. Critics are saying he's now cemented his place among R&B heavy hitters. The album has also been nominated for 5 Grammys, including one for Song of the Year. This is probably a good time to point out that our conversation includes some frank discussion of sexually charged lyrics that everybody might not consider appropriate. So with that being said, Miguel joins us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving me the time.
It's been a good year for you.
It's been an awesome transition. So,
and when you say transition, what are you talking about? Are you talking about from being behind the scenes mainly as a writer or to performing yourself?
I've been more than anything transition. When I say that, I think I mean from being, I guess, more obscure to the music reaching a broader audience. I think that's what I mean.
Well, you're certainly reaching a broader audience now. Adorn has been on the Billboard Hot 100 chart for more than 13 weeks. It's actually the number one song playing on R&B and hip-hop stations. Let's play a little bit for people who may have missed it. Here it is. So when you sit down to write, what do you, or maybe, I don't know if you sit down to write, I don't know, maybe you write wandering around, you know, the house or something. How do you get started? What gets you going?
I guess the best analogy or comparison would be, you know, to surfing. You know, you never really know how the wave is going to set up. You just kind of ride out there with your board and you wait for it. And as it comes, you just kind of ride the wave. Sometimes it starts with a lyric, or sometimes it comes with a melody or with music. It just, you know, it's different every time.
Have you ever gotten an inspiration at an awkward moment?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say awkward. What's the word? I'm trying to think of the word for it. But I've definitely, like, stopped in the middle of sex and recorded things.
We gotta really?
Get back to this in a bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you pulling my leg? Is that true? Have you
no,
really
I'm,
actually?
I'm being completely honest. Anyways, we're getting kind of graphic, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. which actually leads me to a question that I had, because I, you know, R&B is generally kind of a genre that people associate with sexiness, you know, with intimacy and so forth. And I read an interview with you where you said that with any R&B artist, it's like, oh, he's a sexy crooner. It's always the same words used, like ladies or
right.
bedroom.
I feel like it's, you I know? Think, I feel as though R&B as a genre has become more of a caricature of itself. And it comes along with these buzz terms. I get it all the time, you know, crooner or sexy or for the bedroom, or this album is sure to make the ladies swoon. And it's like, all right, man, my life isn't lived in the bedroom. And as much as love and romance, I think, are completely relatable and humane, there's so many other things that I go through throughout my day that I feel my music should incorporate or should be included in my music. And that we've forgotten that used to be a part of soul music and R&B music.
Well, you said, you go on to say in this interview, you said, this album sounds more like my lifestyle. The first album sounds like what my love life sounds like, but this is a bit more rounded. You're saying it wasn't a misrepresentation, but just one-sided. So talk a little bit more about what else you wanted to talk about in this album.
You know, being more rounded, I think there's songs on the album like Candles in the Sun where I'm just kind of opening up, you know, my perspective on the world, or just the fact that I notice what's going on.
Now that ain't how we treat each other. Shit, but you don't
reminders that we need each other. Yeah, diamond in the back, babies on crack, kicking the door, waving the ball. White collar walk, crime, money gets spent. Candles in the sun, blowing in the wind. Sun goes down, heroes often get shot.
I'm thinking about some of the things you were talking about. You know, some of your predecessors in R&B certainly talked about what they saw going on around them. Why do you think we hear less of that now?
I think there are genres of music where I feel like music and creativity are flourishing, and there are subgenres and things like these are talked about, and it's common, you know, or it's not uncommon to hear things be addressed. For current R&B music, I think more than anything, from what I've seen, is that it's become more about the success, the commercial success of music, and no longer about the soul behind the music. And that kind of lends itself to people not really speaking their mind or really showcasing their individuality or their perspective or their sensibilities, more so chasing the success, which lends itself to interchangeable music. Mm. And I guess music that just doesn't really matter when it comes to time. It's just kind of here and now, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Do you feel your audience is following you when you want to take it deeper, talking about something other than what goes on in the bedroom?
Interestingly, that was something I was actually worried about, and I wasn't sure if they would be, but it's been so refreshing and such a blessing to discover that there are a lot of people out there who love soul music and who really enjoy and appreciate the fact that I even said anything about what's going on this album, you know? And like I said, I don't pretend to be like some, you know, super uber knowledgeable, you know, person on politics and, you know, social commentary and all of that. But I think simply addressing the fact that I have a perspective, even for me, was special, just because, I don't know, I miss that from R&B music. You know, it's cool to find people who miss it just as much as I do, I guess.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We are speaking with singer-songwriter Miguel. We're talking about his latest album, Kaleidoscope Dream. Talk a little bit about your background, if you would. You mentioned a little bit about your folks, that I think your mom is African-American, right?
Absolutely.
Your dad is,
yes,
Mexican-American. You grew up in California. Can you just talk a little bit about how you think your upbringing may have influenced your music, and how did you decide you wanted to become professional, that this is what you wanted to make your career?
Well, my father is from Zamora, Michoacán, Mexico. He's a first-generation American. My mom is a beautiful black woman from Los Angeles. They met in, you know, high school. Both of them love music. They're not musicians, or, you know, they didn't grow up performing or anything like that, but music was something I fell in love with very early on, just because they loved it so much. Growing up, I kind of caught myself in the middle, growing up in Los Angeles, of a lot of tension at the time in the 90s, early 90s. There's a lot of racial tension between Mexicans and blacks, and kind of having to take a stand early on about who I am and what I stand for lent itself to, I guess, me being comfortable with my individuality. And the comfortability of doing that and being familiar with doing that, I think, lent itself to the musical choices that I make, you know, on a day-to-day basis, creatively. So I think this album, Kaleidoscope Dream, is a really great statement for the kind of artist that I hope to become. It showcases, you know, my eccentricities, my sensibilities, and also that I'm a soulful person and I love soulful music without sacrificing my creativity or my perspective, you know?
Well, you certainly have gotten good reviews for this one. And one of the things that the through line seems to be is that you've taken kind of the old school R&B style, but refreshed it so that it sounds modern. Like people hear the roots, but they also hear the modern flavor, if I can say it that way. And here's an example of what they're talking about. This the song "Where's the Fun in Forever." I'll just play a little bit of that. It's an upbeat piece, but you're still thinking about, well, it came from kind of a contemplative place.
For me, there was a time where I felt like I was invincible. And I think within the past year and a half, I've come to realize that, you know, my parents are getting older, my grandparents are getting older, my friends, and even my perspective is changing. And at first, that thought, you know, or just kind of realizing that, it kind of bothered me. And where's the fun in forever is kind of me getting over that, kind of addressing the fact that, you know, we're not here for forever, but if we were, would it be so exciting? Would life be, would I live so passionately? Would we have accomplished so much as humans, you know, had we been born with the knowledge that we would always be here?
Well, we've talked a lot about, you know, deep subjects, but I don't want to mislead people that there is a lot of traditional R&B sexiness on this album. Sexy crooner or whatever you want to say. So I'll just play the title cut, Kaleidoscope Dream. I taste you. So presumably what you're dreaming about is not, well, never mind. So,
actually, interestingly, that song is more, Kaleidoscope Dream, the title, I love to explain this as a phrase, is really just kind of a phrase for life. You know, it's like a metaphor phrase for life.
Okay, but there are some of other metaphors on the album that aren't metaphors for life. I'll just say.
No.
So I won't be saying those. I won't There's be saying those one songs in particular. Like,
you won't be saying them either.
No, you won't be saying them either. So what's next for you? It's going back in between from the 6 o'clock hour to the 11 o'clock hour. So, or later. What's next for you? What are you thinking artistically these days?
More than anything, I just can't wait to get on the road. That's the best place for people to really connect with the music and the musicians behind the music. And, you know, I'd love to connect with my fans. So we'll be on tour throughout the next year. But we start next week on tour here in the States. And then we'll go to the UK for about a month. And then South America. And then come back on tour towards the summer.
Well, come back and see us when you get a chance.
I can't wait.
Miguel is a singer and songwriter. His latest album, Kaleidoscope Dream, is in stores now, and he was kind enough to join us from KNPR in Las Vegas. Miguel, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on everything this year. More to come.
Thank you for having us, Michelle. Can I trust you? Trust me.